Hey guys, welcome again to another episode of our podcast, Let's Talk Cloud Networking, with myself, Numan Mustafa, and John Gonzalez. Today, we have a very interesting and a unique topic to discuss, different from normally what we have been discussing. And this is a more request from a lot of our customers and audience and partners who are taking this journey to the cloud. And they want to know about how VMware and VMware solutions fits in the cloud, because obviously we do not see them that much, even though we have a very healthy past and strong past with VMware. We don't see them into many of our discussions, but a lot of our customers who are moving their journey, they get to talk to them. And obviously, like any other legacy vendor, everybody has a solution for the cloud. And then the request for our customers and partners is, you know, how do we, what is our stance? What is our positioning in terms of where do their solution fits, which includes, you know, obviously NSX4T and VCF and VMC on AWS and Azure VMware solution and others in that Tanzu service, Tanzu as well. So we wanted to provide our perspective in terms of where that solution fits in, because there's a clear difference in terms of how you see these solutions. And it's all about how you see, or where is your center of gravity? Is it still data center, or is it going to be in the cloud? So we wanted to talk about this, and we have a very, very great panel today. Obviously myself, John, comes from a very unique background. Myself was with Cisco for 12 years, long time, and then with VMware for 7 years, built the entire solutions engineering team with NSX from very early days with 5 customers. We took them to almost 3,000 plus customers. So I've seen pretty much the entire life cycle of NSX and working with our customers and where the value was for NSX as a beautiful product for data centers in on-prem world. So we want to talk about how that evolution has happened and where do we see in terms of their value in the cloud as part of the solutions that VMware is offering. And then now, you know, I've been in Aviatrix for almost 3 years now, working in the cloud with customers who have shifted their center of gravity in the cloud. I call it in a pristine way. They are tackling their application environments and finding the business agility. And the sooner that you're able to accomplish that end state, the better you get in terms of driving value and results from the cloud. John, you want to maybe quickly introduce yourself? John is playing more of a customer persona. He has been long-term on the other side. So John, maybe you can quickly.
Yeah, hi everyone. Yeah, John Gonzalez here. So prior to joining Aviatrix, I was with Citigroup for 20 years. And for the best part of those 20 years, probably 12, 13 years, I was the global network engineering head over there. Working with a lot of the traditional vendors, VMware for their data center solution, Cisco, Arista, you know, you name it, we've had it in Citigroup. You know, we had one of the largest enterprise networks globally, you know, with over 400 campus sites, you know, over 2,500 branches, over 5,000 ATM machines, you know, huge, huge estate of networking equipment, lots to look after, you know, then helped Citi start their cloud journey, you know, starting off with AWS, made a lot of mistakes, we corrected a lot of things, redefined the strategy, et cetera, and then I think my time was up and I decided to come and work on work with a real cloud solution provider, which is Aviatrix, and I'm here and I'm really pleased to be amongst what I think are two of the most respected cloud industry leaders, Richard Hamad and Brad Headlam, and I'm really pleased we've managed to get their time today to join us. I know they're really busy people, so guys, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. I'm going to hand over Hamad over to you and then Brad.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be in an elite company. So just a quick background on myself. So before Aviatrix, and I've been at Aviatrix just over 2 years now, I was at VMware for about 6 years. Some of you who know VCDX, I'm one of the network virtualization NSX VCDXs. Did a lot of NSX data center work from architecture perspective. And later in my time at VMware, I was very close to the cloud native apps BU, which was Pivotal, PKS, and now Tanzu. So it was great while I was there, but then I moved over to Aviatrix because I saw that where the world is going and where things are heading, and Aviatrix was, it seemed like the best place to go to. And at the time I thought if Aviatrix can survive for 2 years, I'd be great, but 2 years have passed and I think I'd be here for a decade or so. So excited to be here.
Thanks, Hamad.
Hamad, your beard will be gray before you leave here.
It's great. Brad, you want to go quickly next? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey guys, Brad Hedlund. I joined Aviatrix in April, and I spent about 6 years at AWS prior to joining Aviatrix. And I really kind of learned a lot about the native cloud networking constructs there at AWS. And I was helping customers troubleshoot their problems and make sure that they're architected right. And the networking was always the most challenging part of that. You know, getting the architecture right, as well as troubleshooting, was a big thing. You know, when there was, you know, some sort of intermittent network performance problem, and it was causing application to affect the customer experience, that goes all the way up to the CEO. And so the pressure's on the line to get those cases resolved fast. And, you know, it was sometimes hard to kind of get those cases resolved due to the lack of troubleshooting and visibility tools that customers had with the native constructs. So it was a real eye-opener for me that, you know, a purebred network platform was needed for the cloud, and Aviatrix was the company doing that. So I'm really excited to be a part of that journey. Prior to that, you know, I spent a few years at VMware in the early NSX days from 2012 to 2015 before it became NSXT. So, you know, VMware was clearly the leader in on-prem data center virtualization and networking, and it was a lot of fun to do it then. And even before VMware, I was at Cisco, you know, doing a lot of the data center switching with Nexus and UCS. So a lot of background in physical and on-prem and native cloud constructs, and really excited to be part of, you know, the next networking revolution, which is Aviatrix, obviously.
Thanks, Brad. Yeah, Brad has a lot of influence in the early data center networking. A lot of people have developed their careers reading your blogs and content that you wrote. Very well known for the clarity in his articulation, describing complex concepts. And now we are very blessed to have him here to do the same thing from scratch for the cloud networking world. So this episode and discussions that we are doing here is specifically to around cloud networking and cloud networking security, right? And I think we are basically in a unique way. We are fortunate that we are in this unique way that we have seen, in a way, all the three worlds, the data center world or the on-prem world, you know, how the center of gravity existed there. And then there is a cloud world where we move to the cloud, and here there's no, I mean, in many enterprises that we work with, there's zero VMware, right? So it's all cloud native or new company or vendors that are built natively on the cloud, or we call them born in the cloud or horsemen of the cloud vendors, even though they have on-prem data centers working. But we are in a unique position because we have seen the world from the context of center of gravity being in the cloud. And then there is an intermediate world that exists where you have legacy vendors who all are seeing that their workloads or applications are working or are moving to the cloud. And they are trying to be relevant in terms of, okay, how can we still be relevant for our customers, right? How can we ensure that we continue to sell or make our products that we have built in the on-prem world, or and then maybe a lot of acquisitions they're also making, but to become relevant in the cloud, to keep the business of the customers. So I think the way we should, what we want to start this discussion is a lot of our customers who are in this boat, and I think now it's pretty clear that the question is not about whether you want to go to the cloud or multi-cloud, it's about how we should do it, right? And a lot of time these enterprise customers, they go and talk to a CSP, maybe AWS or Azure or GCP, right? So normally they start with the one cloud where they want to move some of the workloads into the cloud, and they talk to the CSP, and from a networking security perspective, they may work with their traditional vendors like Cisco and Arista and VMware in, hey, how can you help me? And obviously all of them are trying to keep their business with these enterprises, and they obviously offer them whatever they can because they're seeing the shift as well. No, so and then a lot of these customers are, could be, you know, cloud first strategy, cloud only strategy. It could be, you know, hybrid world, but all of them, we have the customers that we work with, all of them are moving to the cloud. Some are moving at their own pace, some are doing more aggressively. But when they go to these vendors, right, they actually would offer them, like specifically to VMware, where our audience have asked us to give our thoughts. They would come and say, okay, we are moving to the cloud. And they will say, yeah, we have solutions that can help you with. So maybe Hamad, since you have been involved, you know, in VMware and now also working with some customers, maybe do a brief overview of, if let's say I am a customer who have been running my data center with Cisco, VMware, let's say, and I'm now moving to AWS. And what would you offer to me, right, that I can help you with your cloud journey, right? And where do you draw the line in terms of, okay, where should I use you? And in terms of my end state, what is the significance of VMware in my cloud journey? So what will be your thoughts?
Yeah, so that's actually interesting and difficult question, because to be able to do that, to answer a question, if I'm being, you know, very honest, I'll turn around and look at what are the products and services that I have available, right? So there are three things, right, in these stage. So where I am today, I am massive VMware user, right? I have, you know, expertise and I have tools and I have everything built on-prem VMware. Now, the eventual goal is for me to go in the public cloud. I want to exit data center. I don't want to have any of that stuff. I want to go into the cloud. Now, if I look at my applications, there may be a part of those applications and things that I can kind of refactor, lift and shift into the cloud. But then there will be a little bit, or maybe for different people, a significant amount of applications that they may have that cannot be moved right away. So either they have to live on in the data center where they are, or they need to be moved to somewhere in alignment with whatever the company goals are. If, let's say, exiting data center is a goal, or there may be other goals, right? And there are other providers that provide interim solutions. Now, in the interim solutions, you have multiple options, right? You have, you know, like IBM Cloud or Dell Cloud and those things, and also the cloud provider, which are VMware hosted solutions or package solutions in the cloud. Now, when I look at that and I turn around to look at the exact products, right? And I look at the strategy of multi-cloud from VMware, one thing that I feel that is not there is there's no product or there's no clear strategy about multi-cloud. It's right now, it's about stitching different things. So for example, you know, VMware Cloud Foundation is there. If I look at the multi-cloud products, the VCF is there. Tanzu is there. Tanzu is great if you have cloud native applications, Kubernetes based applications, and you want to have them run in multiple clouds. Tanzu can answer a lot of those questions for those specific kind of workloads. But if you have a lot of those workloads, then it's very easy for you to go directly into the cloud. You don't need an interim place, because these applications are already ready. They're Kubernetes, they can go anywhere, right? So Tanzu is great, but then at that time, I have other solutions from the cloud providers themselves that I can leverage as well. Then if I look at other things, then you have the cloud management suites, vRealize and Cloud Health. And so the challenge that I see there is that there's so many different products which were built for on-prem, and they have now 5%, 10% of their core extending into doing something in the cloud. Now, one core thing that I haven't talked about from the products perspective is these services that are available inside the cloud from VMware. For example, VMC on AWS, AVS, GCVE, OCVS, and these kind of solutions. So for the interim, those maybe that can be suggested to place your workload for a short amount of time, but you need to make sure that you are aware of where that's gonna leave you, right? And what kind of challenges is gonna leave you with? And I'll just highlight one or two, and I'll let Brad comment more on it. So if I look at the pure cloud play that VMware has, and if I'm a customer or somebody who's going to cloud, is that, okay, you have VMC on AWS, you have AVS, GCP, OCVS. Even if I look at the multi-cloud story from VMware, it only mentions VMC on AWS. Other solutions are not even part of that story. And that's where I feel there's a lack of a strategy. And then the second thing is that all of these solutions, what I find today at least, and hopefully there is a strategy or something that's coming out and I'm not aware of, where each of these solutions are unique deployments with different challenges. For example, the solution in AWS, VMC on AWS, is a managed solution, right? Which is a little bit more mature than others. Then AVS is a unique solution. It's implemented in a different way. GCVE is a completely different solution. OCVS is a different solution. And there's no story of connecting these. So even if I were going to the cloud and if I were to use VMware to put my workloads in the cloud, then these will be in silos. Then now I'm going to put myself into another challenge of how do I get these things to actually talk to each other and do it seamlessly. So I think that there's a cloud, individual cloud story that is there, but there's no real multi-cloud story, because the definition of multi-cloud, the way I see it, is from an enterprise perspective, I choose where I put my application, but my choice of placement doesn't impact the application's performance or architecture or design. So application becomes agnostic of the cloud. And then I put the application in a cloud, which is closer, faster, cheaper, or whatever, however metric I define to the consumer or whatever I want to define, right? But I feel that if that's the strategy for an enterprise, which I see a lot of enterprises have, it's very hard to fulfill that strategy using the VMware's multi-cloud story, at least where it stands today.
Yeah, I think the way you described it, I think it screams operational complexity and putting even more burden on the operations team. And I think also what it tells me is more about a temporary solution for customers who are moving their workload. Because I mean, none of the customers that I've spoken to, even the people who were going with VMC or AWS, had VMware or AWS type solution as a permanent strategy, right? It's more of a, you know, 1 year, 6 months, temporary parking lot type solution where, okay, I cannot refactor the applications right away. So I'm going to move them here because I'm shutting down my data center. But as soon as I am able to rewrite the application or refactor the application, I'm going to move that to the real pure cloud environment. So it's been more of a temporary solution, but still with center of gravity in the cloud, in the data center world, right? And that's where I see that when you talk about the multi-cloud strategy is because no one in VMware is actually thinking about the end state. The end state for enterprises now is about my application workloads are running in the cloud of the choice, and they're able to consume services wherever they run best. If it's in Azure, if it's in GCP, and that multi-cloud networking is the ability for you to connect those services and connect your application workload without the lock-in of a certain vendor or without the lock-in into a certain stack. And so this is where I see a big miss in this strategy, which I think they are sort of missing out on. And for a reason, right? Because their center of gravity, the lens that they are seeing things with, is what we were seeing 2 years ago when we were not aware of what pristine cloud means. So with that, Brad, you know, I will maybe let you, you know, because you have been working in AWS and you have been sort of spending some time with VMC on AWS as well. And obviously you are familiar with very well now Matrix. So from your point of view, how do you see things what Hamad said? Does it resonate in terms of your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, VMware is a company that was born on-prem, and they're really the best company if you want to get the most efficiency out of your on-prem data center and get all of the great network virtualization and everything. There's no question that is VMware's domain, and they do it better than anybody else. So what they've done is they basically taken that and they put it in a bubble and they throw it over the fence into the cloud. And that's kind of what you see in VMC on AWS. It's this VMware bubble that's kind of, you know, running in the cloud. So inside that bubble, if you're inside that bubble, everything looks exactly the same as it was on-prem. And that can feel really comfortable to an enterprise that's not quite, you know, ready to, you know, they need to evacuate data centers or whatever, but they're not really ready to make those cloud native changes yet. So it's a really nice thing. And I think that's why the VMC on AWS service has been successful, at least it appears to have been, because, you know, it's a growing program and there's a lot of big teams around it. But then, you know, you have to really ask yourself, like you were pointing out, what is the future? And I think, you know, customers really want to embrace all of the capabilities of the cloud and all, you know, and it's always been application architecture that drives the network architecture. So when you had the traditional three-tier application on the on-prem, you did things a certain way and you built VLANs and you routed between them, and VMware did that really awesome in on-prem data centers with network virtualization and NSX. You know, in the cloud, you've got serverless, you've got containers, and you've got all of these different service offerings at the cloud. So customers want to begin to use that. So in a customer's cloud journey, they don't, you know, they want to have the freedom to do those things. So what you really want is a network architecture that can provide all of that for you in a multi-cloud way. So you know, what the big kind of missing piece that I see with VMware's current multi-cloud strategy is that they don't really do anything for any of the native VPCs or any of the native workloads for the customer, because, you know, they were born on-prem and they basically just have this VMware bubble. So, you know, they can really only help the customer if one end of the connection is the VMware environment. You know, if a customer has, you know, multiple VPCs and VNets and different workloads running in different clouds, and they ask, well, how do I build a network architecture for that to handle those workloads? VMware doesn't really have a good story for that right now. So I think that's why a born in the cloud networking platform, which is Aviatrix, is the right way to go, because it handles those native workloads. And it can also connect to the VMware environments just as easily as well. So now you have a common networking platform that can really adapt to where the customers wants to go in their journey, you know, and utilize any kind of cloud technologies without feeling like they're tied into one specific, you know, bubble or environment like VMware.
Yeah. And I think also, Brad, I think you, the other day you mentioned something about, application developers, right? So, you will start to see a new breed of application developers who are like 22 years old, you know, college kids who are coming in, and they actually are born in the cloud as well, right? So they are the basically your future application developers, the people who are going to be creating your business. They will not know who the hell is Cisco and who the hell is VMware, right? They are basically born in the AWS world and the GCP world and the Microsoft world. And they are developing and learning based on that new stuff. So I think if you want to build a very dynamic, future-looking workforce, right, you need to be able to tune your infrastructure according to what the modern application developers are going to demand you for. So some comments on that based on your AWS background.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I saw in AWS a lot of the new talent that AWS was hiring, you know, were these, you know, really, really smart college graduates. And to your point, they've been working in Google and they've been working in AWS EKS. And so they want to work for a company that says, go build however you want to build. You know, if you want to use Google GKE, you know, go do that. If you want to use EKS, go do that, whatever you're comfortable with. What they don't want is you know, somebody saying, well, you know, we only use a certain container platform here. So you're going to have to learn how to use this to build your apps. I mean, that's not going to give them the creative freedom they want. So if an organization really wants to be able to attract the top talent and really be able to compete in this kind of this new world that we're in now, they need to be able to provide the flexibility and the freedom for this new generation, this born in the cloud kind of new developer that you're talking about. So yeah, I mean, I'm a 22-year-old coming right out of college. I'm going to look at a VMware console and, not feel as at home in it as I am, in a Google or an Amazon console. And so that's something that enterprises are going to have to,
recognize. It makes total sense to me. And John, I think coming back to you, right? So, I mean, this is very, very interesting comments from both Hamad and Brad, which actually resonates nicely with me as well, being on either side of the house, right, in terms of the center of gravity. But you have been, the infrastructure leader for, so many years for the world's most largest financial organization. You have worked with these vendors for years and years. You understand the cloud as well now, again, from a different lens. What would be your approach? Because I'm pretty sure that you would be in a very similar boat maybe 2 years ago when you have not seen the real cloud and the center of gravity and the lens that we want customers to have. How do you recommend customers? Because obviously, they will have army of, Cisco and VMware machine coming to them that we can do everything for you. Don't worry about it. We have SD-WAN solutions. We have SASE solutions. Put NSX into the cloud or whatever, Arista EUS, CSRs. So how would you take this? Because at the end of the day, you may be a cloud-first company. You want to maybe become a cloud-first company or maybe become a cloud-only company, or you may still have hybrid. You are making that move, right? And then you may have to have some need for these transit solution or temporary solutions for a while. But how would you recommend any CIO, CTO, decision maker on how should they approach that? Because they are all overwhelmed by this machinery or sales machinery of these legacy vendors who are basically maybe distracting them from reaching to the end goal, confusing them in many ways. Everybody is using the word multi-cloud. Everybody is doing cloud washing, lifting and shifting the product. So how would you have handled that?
Yeah, and it's really confusing to the end customer. There's so many things out there now, and different, vendors are calling different or the same, almost the same thing, but calling them different names and using different terminology. And it's, I almost feel now, for the customers, because it is very confusing. But just before I get into that, I just wanted to pick up something on what Brad said about the new modern sort of app developer. And applications now are being developed, would you believe, by traders on the trade floor. They are now also the new developers. They're developing their own algos and their algorithms to work, wherever that's going to run best and quickest for them, whether that's on GCP or whatever cloud. So it's not just about, hiring, the new talent coming up. It's going to be the way they modernize and rewrite applications or write new applications. Even existing folks on the trade floor, I know where I used to work before, we was teaching them how to write, not we, but the company was teaching them how to write Python scripts. And these were traders making millions of dollars on one day. The next day, they're writing some Python scripts for an algo. He wondered what the hell is going on, but it's the way they move the quickest, right? They know what they want for their applications. They know how their trading app needs to work and how it needs to perform for them. Who better to write it for them than themselves?
Yeah.
So, but going back, it is a confusing space for enterprises and customers now. And one thing I would advise leadership now, CTOs, CIOs, etc., is to recruit people that have that have done this and done it many times, have a trial and tested record, because generally, folks from large enterprises, they've been there a long time. They've gone up 10, 20 years. They've been working on-prem because that's all there was. There was no cloud until a few years ago, right? And even more recently, that's when cloud started to become really popular. So the majority of folks, around the CIO table, CTO table, they've worked their way up from the on-prem world, and they don't necessarily have that experience or that knowledge to be able to make decisions on their own. So they leverage on the vendors that they know, the Ciscos, the VMwares, and the IBMs and the Dells, et cetera. You know, this is what we're planning to do. You know, we got a spend of X amount of hundreds of millions over the next 5 years. And of course, these vendors are all rubbing their hands. I can do it all for you, you know, and you don't have to worry about a thing. I can move all your workloads. You know, when do you want it moved? Tomorrow, next week, next year? I can do all that for you. Just sign here on the bottom line. You know, so people are waking up to that, and that's not the way to go. So you have to build your team of experts that have got, you know, a broad level of expertise, some from on-prem because you need that, some from cloud because that's where you want to go, right? And then, you know, once you've got your cloud strategy ironed out, you know, your long-term view, you've got to have with that as well an intelligent timeline to move your applications. You know, people think, okay, believe the hype from cloud, you know, cloud speed, Christ, I can do everything tomorrow. Point of a click, you know, it's done. Well, it's not, you know, you can't move an application overnight. It has to be planned well in advance. So you have to have some intelligence around your project planning of how you're going to move that. But then if you're going to shut down a data center, and I completely agree with both Hamad and Brad, if you're going to shut down a data center and you've got a data center full of VMs, you know, VMware on your on-prem, then what are you going to do with those applications? You know, you want to try and retire a lot of those before you even attempt to move it because they're legacy apps, basically, right? Do you really want to lift and shift them into the cloud? And if you lift and shift them into the cloud, they're not going to run cloud native and perform for you the way they do on-prem. So what's your other choice? It's VMware, VMC on AWS, right? Then are you really going to move all of those applications? Can you shut any of them down? Do you really need them all? So then you have to go through all your list of, you know, maybe hundreds of apps, decide which ones you're going to move and which ones you're going to try and retire, which ones you're going to replace by rewriting modernized, you know, applications to work natively in the cloud. So, you know, in my view, I think VMware in the cloud is necessary, but only necessary as a first stepping stone in that cloud journey. You're going to have to move if you're going to close down a data center. You have to do something with those apps. You can't shut down every application and get rid of them. Some of them are going to have to be lifted and shifted over time. So lift and shift those, but, you know, surely the strategy has got to be, I want to run natively. I want to run my application on any cloud where it's going to perform the best. You know, I want it to perform the best for my customers and for my end users. I don't want my end users and my customers to have a poor experience. You know, right now they're complaining like hell is on-prem and we're too slow, et cetera. When I move to the cloud, I certainly don't want those same complaints again. So, you know, and if I get those same complaints again, then what's the point of me moving to the cloud? So I've got to be working, you know, my application's got to be flexible. It's got to be, you know, cloud agnostic, and it's got to sit in the cloud where it's going to perform the best for my users and my end customers. But as I said earlier, some of the applications are going to have, some of my legacy or traditional apps are going to have to move into some sort of VMware environment. But I only want that to be for a temporary solution My end state has got to be, I've got to retire those apps at some point. And it may not be for a year or 2 years or 3 years, but I've always got to have in my mind, those apps are yesterday's apps. You know, I don't want them for the rest of my life in the cloud, because then I'm going to lose flexibility and I'm going to lose all sorts of different things, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's a cost to it, right? So, a lot of customers, they actually are moving their workloads directly into the cloud. They don't have any issues. They're mature enough or they're smaller enough that they move to the cloud. That's the ideal state. But if you don't have an option, then yeah, you may have to have like temporary parking lot solutions.
Exactly.
Like yeah. But then there's a cost, right? Because you are actually delaying your actual end state, right? So if your end state is to be able to make sure that your staff and employees and application developers are all enabled on the cloud, because that's when you start to feel the true business agility, right? When your app developers are leveraging services from different clouds and they're doing things natively in the cloud, then I think that's when you start to see the agility. And I think I don't agree with the argument of VMware saying that, oh, hey, we just want to make sure that operations team and architects continue to use the VMware skill set by using VMC, because at the end of the day, you are delaying them to learn the cloud because they are already applications running in the cloud. And there are now enough certifications and training. AVTrix certified engineer is a fast track for a lot of networking security folks to come and learn the cloud the right way and do things the right way. So I think you are delaying things, and then you are putting more burden on customers to be managing now siloed environments. You need to do native AWS and VMC and AVS. It's just, so I think you do it if it's necessary, but avoid it if you can. And if you're doing it right, it should be a shrinking proposition. You should be shrinking the workloads, and you're saying more and more workloads, and at some point you will detach that environment. Exactly.
And before you even start moving any of those sort of legacy type applications, you have to ask yourself, are these really needed? Can I just get rid of them from day one? I don't want to do anything, just delete them, right?
Yeah.
And then just move a smaller footprint onto that, you know, walled garden of VMware running in AWS, and keep that there for, you know, you may not be able to get rid of those apps for, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years, as I say, but you know they're in a walled garden, they're going to take care of themselves for an interim period of time, and then eventually they have to go, because I don't want to keep, you know, keeping legacy in a cloud native environment, you know?
Got it. So Hamad, a quick question for you. So let's say if you know, all of my applications can be moved to the cloud, right? So I don't really need a solution like AVS or VMC or AWS, because, you know, I can refactor my applications, or you can rewrite my applications, new applications, I can go to the cloud. Do you see there is any solution from VMware that customers can use just by being natively in the cloud? Is there any solution? Let's say I've shut down my data center, I have no more workloads, right? Or it's very limited. Today, in what type of solutions would they provide? And then obviously they will be competing with CSP themselves in many of those cases. But what are your thoughts around, maybe I think, for example, Tanzu, I think is one solution around Kubernetes. So what would be your thoughts?
I'd be hard pressed. I don't want to claim to be expert of all of those solutions on what they do, but one thing I know is that all of the solutions from VMware have their DNA in on-prem, right? So the main thing that we need to look at, and I would advise the enterprise to look at, is focus on the architecture. And when you're picking an architecture, look at where the DNA of that architecture is, right? And does that DNA align with where you're going, right? So, you know, then you know, if Tanzu may be one, yeah, but then you have a more cloud native alternative like Anthos, which is still GCP, but it can also do, you know, multi-cloud, right? It can manage EKS and AKS and those kind of things, right? And then you have other things like Red Hat. They also have, you know, a control plane that can, you know, be deployed in multiple clouds. So the differentiator is going to be lost very quickly. Then there are other things like cloud health. They are very management plane level. Then there are all other kind of options available as well. So I'd be hard pressed to pick one that would fit, but you know, some of these may have some use. So if you already have, you know, licenses to burn and you already have those deployed, then you can potentially use some of them for a short period of time. But in the long term, you probably want to look at an architecture that aligns with the long-term cloud-focused strategy.
Got it. Brad, quick question for you. So when you think about multi-cloud networking or cloud networking the right way, I mean, obviously, I think AVTrix is a leader in the multi-cloud networking, cloud networking world, independent of the cloud provider, independent of any vendor, specific solutions like VMware. How do you differentiate or see, you know, because VMware also say the word multi-cloud networking, right? We are doing it in a very pristine way, cloud native way. How do you, from your perspective, differentiate the two?
I don't know. For me, it's really simple. I mean, when I look at what VMware's capabilities are, and, you know, it's all with inside their bubble, which was born on-prem. So, you know, to say that they do multi-cloud networking, I mean, I don't know how you can say that you do multi-cloud networking when you don't do anything for the native VPCs and VNets. I mean, that just seems very fundamental to me. So, you know, customers should be asking the question, look, I've got these VPCs in AWS and I've got these VNets in Azure. and I want to you know, get a better networking and security multi-cloud architecture for that. How do you do that for me? And if you don't have an answer that's basically cloud native and born in the cloud, and that's not in your DNA, then that's not somebody you should be putting place in your trust for your future architecture state with. You know, whereas with Aviatrix, you know, born in the cloud, and we speak all of the native cloud CSP languages, and you know, working with the cloud native constructs is where we all started. And so, and as VMware comes into the picture with their software defined data centers, we can connect to those very simply and easily as well. We've tested it; it works. So, for me, it's really simple to break down. You know, if you can't deal with the native constructs, you're not a cloud networking company in your DNA.
Yeah, great response. And I think the other thing I would say is overall, I think the innovation or transformation always comes from new vendors, new leaders. It never comes from legacy. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the key differences that I see is when you look at VMware, they have, you know, thousands and thousands of people who are building software for on-prem world, as you said, Brad, right? So this is where they specialize on. And now when they see applications moving to the cloud, they are sort of trying to keep that lights on because they have a huge center of gravity and a gravitational pull pushing them to sell whatever they have, right? So they are always going to be restricted in terms of how much they can innovate. On the other hand, a vendor like Aviatrix, right, is 24/7. Everybody is focused on building cloud native solutions. Everybody is every day, every hour, we are focusing on what cloud is innovating and how we can embrace that and provide our customers a unified, repeatable architecture, whether in one cloud or multiple clouds, and connecting back to the new world of on-prem, which is going to be your edge devices or edge locations. So this is the key difference in terms of the innovation that we see and how we can help our customers. We are very well positioned in terms of that. I think we are over time. Maybe I'll just ask one key takeaway from each one of you, John.
Just before going there, I just want to say and this is why I think customers don't necessarily know to ask the question, how do you VMware, mm-hmm. how do you integrate with the native construct? They don't necessarily, you know, that doesn't even come into their mind, right? No. It's too far down the same. That's why it's important for that leadership, that CIO, CTO leadership table to recruit these smart people, these innovative cloud people that know these questions and know the answers, but are prepared to bring them to the forefront and challenge the vendors like VMware and ask the questions, et cetera, then get the answers and then have them on the table for discussion. Because otherwise, you're going to go down a route, then you're going to get stuck down a rabbit hole, you know, as we've seen many, many times before. And by then, it's almost too late.
Exactly. So, great advice. Hamad and Brad, maybe one key takeaway to leave the audience with?
Focus on architecture.
Mm-hmm.
That's, as I said earlier, focus on architecture, an architecture that doesn't lock you in. Instead, an architecture that enables you, enables the business to go where it needs to go, and for the networking, security, operations, infrastructure team to be able to turn around to the business and say, wherever you want to go, I'm already there. I'm ready to support you, right? Mm-hmm. And that cannot never be achieved with point solutions. That can only be achieved when you have a architecture that is repeatable and applicable to the real estate where you want to be, which is the cloud providers.
It's great advice. Brad, anything to leave the audience with?
Yeah, I mean, I think Hamad really summed it up well. I mean, when the application architecture changes, so does the network architecture. So the network architecture is very different in the cloud because the application architecture is different. So that's why we're all focused on cloud native networking and born in the cloud. So I would encourage everybody to go learn and just discover, you know, figure out how these cloud native constructs work, and, you know, take the certifications, the basic associated certifications exams, and, you know, just learn as much as you can. I think the more you learn about it, the more you'll understand kind of what the future looks like and what, your network architecture needs to look like, rather than just being, you know, told by, you know, the vendor that's been helping you for the last 10 years on-prem, mm-hmm. what your future looks like, you know, figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, great advice. I think the best investment, if you're networking security folks, if you're a networking security background professional who is trying to become relevant in the cloud, I think the best investment of your time is ACE Associate, AVTrix Certified Engineering Associate. Go there, spend 4 hours, 6 hours, self-paced. I think you will be a different person. You will exactly know how the cloud works, what are the opportunities for you to help out your business, and you can basically start contributing to the architecture that Hamad talked about, which is basically what you, the eventual end state is.
No, and I want to leave the CTOs, CIOs with one last thought.
Yep.
Hire people that are smarter than you. Hire people that know the right questions to ask. Hire people that have done this before so that they lead you down the right path.
Yep, and they can question the status quo. Very, very important. All right, thank you so much, John, Hamad, and Brad. Really good feedback, and looking forward for the next podcast soon. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Bye.